Sunday, and but what we're going to do this morning is preach from the same story, but look at it in a little different way. And you pray for me that the Lord will use us to be a blessing and a help to you this morning, and that would be wonderful. John chapter 11, if you want to stand, now's a good time to do that. We're going to read verse 19 down through verse number 27, but we'll preach from a good portion of this text, and so if you leave your copy of the Word of God open, it'll be a blessing to you, amen? All right, John chapter 11, verse 19 says, "And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again." And can we pause and say amen? Aren't we glad that this isn't the end? "And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." We'll stop reading there. Father, bless your word. Help us as we try to preach from it. God, we ask this in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Last week, we looked at the first several verses of chapter number 11. And in chapter number 11, an unexpected sorrow comes into the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We are told that Lazarus is struck with a sudden and a severe illness. The illness is so severe, in fact, that just days after discovering the sickness, we are told that Lazarus dies. I cannot imagine the hurt of this unexpected trauma as it came into their lives. Our family just experienced something somewhat similar to this over Christmas. My dad's uncle contracted the coronavirus on Thanksgiving, found out that he was sick. And in just a matter of days, he was in the hospital, and just a day or two later, he went on to be with the Lord in heaven. That was an unexpected sorrow. It was an unexpected tragedy. And we cannot imagine what Mary and Martha and Lazarus walked through during these difficult days. What this family experienced was hard, and it was real. They were surprised, they were hurting, and they were broken, and we would have been too. But the sorrow that we find at the beginning of the chapter is not the end of the story. The story does not end with Lazarus in the grave in verse 14. But we all know that the story of Lazarus continues and becomes a great story of resurrection power. Before the chapter is over, Jesus will stand outside of the tomb of Lazarus and will call him back to life. Last Sunday, we focused on the sorrow. This morning, I want to focus on the resurrection. I mentioned this last week, but it's worth saying again. John gives us this miracle as the seventh great proof in the Gospel of John that Jesus is the Son of God. While it is true that Jesus raised other people from the dead, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And the Jews believed that when a man had been dead for 4 days, there was no hope. There was no way that there was going to be any life given to him. But Jesus would do something they thought was impossible to prove that he was who he claimed to be. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He was God in the flesh. Now there are three themes that run through the rest of this chapter. I want to show them to you this morning. They are the theme of faith, the theme of the resurrection, and the theme of the glory of God. I want to preach for a few minutes on this. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. This resurrection teaches us three things. Number one, it shows us this. God wants your faith to be strong. Number one, God wants your faith to be strong. Look with me at verse 26. Jesus is speaking to Martha now in verse 26 about her brother who is dead, who he will call to life. And Jesus said in verse 26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me
shall never die. And then notice the question at the end of the verse. Jesus said, believest thou this? If I count correctly, and you can count maybe after the sermon, I don't want you to do it during the sermon, you'll get distracted, but you help me with this one. If I counted correctly, Brother Scott, the word believe is mentioned in our chapter 8 different times. Some 8 times that thought of belief is introduced and presented and questioned over and over through the course of the chapter. Jesus affirms to his disciples, to the sisters, to the Jewish crowd, to everyone at the funeral, that they are able to believe in him through this sorrow and through this sickness. You see, this was really more about faith than it was raising Lazarus from the dead. In fact, I submit to you that God allowed Lazarus to go to the grave, to be buried for 4 days, and be resurrected again, so that faith could be challenged, faith could be strengthened, and faith could be taught. This is more about faith than it is about a resurrection. I believe that. I think that these things were written for our faith today. Not only for Mary and Martha's faith, but for your faith and for my faith. So in this, we see that God wants our faith to be strong. Let me say this, maybe as I move along, letter A, God wants your faith to be strong even when things don't make sense. He wants your faith to be strong even when things don't make sense. Now look at verse 14. Jesus is talking to his disciples now about Lazarus and Lazarus being dead. And he said in verse 26, Lazarus is dead. Do you see that? Verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Here it is, verse 15, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now, we often think about the disciples as being super saints, do we not? They were the closest men to Jesus at this time. They walked with him. They slept in the same house he slept in. They ate bread that he called broke and distributed a few loaves among thousands. They watched him walk on water. They had to be super saints. That's the way we consider them. But Jesus was always, if you study his walk with his disciples, he was always looking for ways to increase their faith, to increase their belief. I believe that this came in different forms, whether it was a boat ride when he knew a storm was coming, or asking them how they would feed a multitude when he knew they could not do that on their own. But John 11 is one of those instances where Jesus wants to grow the faith of his disciples. He knows that the day is soon coming when he's leaving. They got to handle this thing on their own. And in light of everything they're going to face when he leaves, they better learn to have faith. So he's going to increase that here. They need to believe. They need to have faith. When you read this passage, and I won't take the time to do all of this, but you can see that there's a lot of confusion on the part of the disciples. They don't understand what Jesus is doing in this passage. If Jesus loved Lazarus, then why would he let him die? Why would he even let him get sick if he loved him that much? And then they begin to ask the question, if Lazarus is sick, why don't we immediately go to him? The Bible says that the messenger comes, says Lazarus is sick, and Jesus intentionally waits 2 more days. If he loved Lazarus, why did he let him get sick? And if he loved Lazarus, why didn't he immediately travel the 20 miles into Bethany and get to him before he died? And then they begin to wonder, when they get the news that Lazarus is dead, they begin to question, why even go to Bethany? Now he's dead and Jesus is saying, let's go to Bethany. Why didn't you go 2 days ago? Why do you want to go now? Don't you know that that's a lot closer to Judea where the Pharisees are trying to kill you? Why in the world would you go now after he's already dead? You see, there's a lot of questioning that is taking place. The whole situation doesn't make sense to them. And if it didn't make sense to the disciples, it sure didn't make sense to Mary and Martha. Why did Jesus not come when we called for him? Why did he not speak a word from a distance and heal our brother? How can we accept his words of hope in light of everything that we are experiencing? If it didn't make sense to the disciples, it sure didn't make sense to the sisters. But God was doing something. God was teaching them something. And it was this lesson. God can be trusted when nothing else makes sense. You know, faith is something that is easier for us in church to talk about than it is for us to walk in our daily lives. That's just the reality of it. It is easier to talk of faith than it is to walk in faith. This is especially true when we are facing difficulties in our life. It's hard to trust when you get a bad report from the doctor. It's hard to trust when you get laid off at work. It's hard to trust when someone you love disappoints you. In those difficult times, it is harder to trust. And we, if we're going to be honest, we would all say, yes, that has been my testimony from time to time. But when we go through those difficult times, I believe that if we allow the Lord to, the Holy Spirit can take those difficulties and strengthen our faith and increase our faith, make us better Christians, make us stronger Christians, if we let Him put us through the strain of difficulties from time to time. I'm not much of a weightlifter. You can tell that by my physique this morning. When you carry more here than you carry here, you are not much of a weightlifter. But I do try to go to the gym through the week. And something I've learned through watching YouTube videos, because that's where you learn everything is on YouTube, is that the way a muscle works is that as you put it under strain and tension, the fibers in that muscle rip and they tear. And it tears those muscles as you put it under tension. And as you put it under tension, those muscles tear, and then they begin to grow back bigger. That's the way exercising works. So you put it under tension, and when you leave, you feel sore, and you wake up, and you're sore the next day, and you try to wash your back, and you can't hardly get your arm behind your back because it doesn't want to move. And you think, why am I doing this? You're doing it, putting your muscles through that so they'll be stronger someday in the future. Sometimes God puts us in situations where it feels like He is tearing us and putting us under a strain and putting us under a pressure. And we think, why in the world is God tearing my life apart like He is? Why is He putting me under this pressure and this strain? Could it be that He is trying to increase your faith, make your faith stronger, make your faith bigger, so that one day in the future you will be a better Christian than you are right now? Faith is faith because we don't always understand it all. But God wants us to have faith when things don't make sense. We talked about this last week. Jesus responds to the sisters with a message of hope. He tells them that they can trust His word. He tells them that they can trust His person in verse number 4. When things don't make sense in your life, you can trust God's word and you can trust God's person. Because while you may not know what you're going through, you know His word is true and you know Him. You know He can be trusted. Jesus can be trusted when things don't make sense. Let it be, Jesus can be trusted when it comes to the afterlife. I think really that's what a lot of this is about. Jesus can be trusted when it comes to the afterlife. Jesus says again in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. In verse 15, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there because I want you to believe. As Jesus is teaching His disciples, He gives them an illustration of sleep. He said at first, Lazarus is asleep. They didn't catch that. They didn't get that. So He plainly says in verse 14, he's dead. That's what I'm trying to teach you. He's dead. They said, well, if he's dead, why do we need to go? Couldn't you have prevented the death? Why would you go now? Jesus said, here's the thing I want you to get. I let him die so that you could understand I could be trusted with the afterlife. I'll say more about the resurrection in a moment, but let me say this for right now. Trusting God with the afterlife is a matter of faith. The reality is that Jesus let Lazarus die because he wanted to know that we could be trusted with the afterlife. Everything I'm going to say about the resurrection in a minute means nothing if you don't trust Jesus with the afterlife. If you don't believe it, then what I'm about to say makes no difference to you. None of us, here's the reality, none of us know a lot about the afterlife, do we? We've never been there. We don't know anybody that's gone there and done that, can come tell us about it. We don't know anybody like that. And because we don't know much about it, we've never experienced it, the afterlife can be a little scary, can't it? It really can. It can be a little scary. We've never been there, never done that. We don't have the t-shirt. We don't know. And so it can be a little scary. And then you add on top of that that this thing about death seems so permanent and you can't do anything to stop it. And so it can be really scary then. But here's what we have to learn to do. We have to learn that while we don't know much about it, we can't stop it, we know it's coming. We do know one that does know something about it. We do know one that has been there, has done that, has told us about it. We do know one that speaks with authority on life after death, and he is trustworthy, and we can trust him. He has the power to conquer death. He proved it with Lazarus. He proved it a few days later with himself. And if he got up, he'll get us up, and he can be trusted with our afterlife. Do you believe what Jesus says about heaven? Do you believe what Jesus says about hell? Do you believe what Jesus says about having the power to give eternal life? You can believe all of those things, and passages like this are given to us so that our faith can be increased. We can know that the afterlife is real. We can know that he has power over death because he proved it in the pages of the scriptures. You understand, let me say this and I'll hurry along. You understand that what Jesus did in John 11, he didn't do in secret, right? Not only was Mary and Martha there, but there was a host of Jews that were there too. In this day, the Jews actually, some of them would be hired for funerals so they could be official and professional mourners. They were good at crying. They would sit around and mourn and weep with you. There was a host of Jews that were there too. And when Jesus stood outside the tomb and proved to that host of people he had power over death, he was showing that publicly so that everybody could believe. Everybody saw what he did. Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians 15 that when he displays power over his own death, he was not only seen by his trusted followers, but he was seen of over 500 witnesses at one time. If you got 500 people telling you they all saw the same thing on the same day at the same place, that's a pretty good indication that what they saw was true. I guess what I'm saying is this. God did not hide Lazarus's death. He did not hide his resurrection, keep it a secret. He did not keep his own resurrection a secret. He did them openly so that you and I could have confidence that he knows what he's talking about when it comes to death. You say, I'm unsure about it. You may be, but I know one who is sure. And he has publicly proven that he can be trusted. So God wants your faith to be, he wants your faith to be strong. Not only that, number two, God wants your future to be secure. God wants your future to be secure. Verse 21, Jesus, Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world. Several days after Lazarus is first sick, Jesus finally arrives into town. And when he gets there, Lazarus has been dead. He is buried and a funeral is taking place. In fact, this funeral has been taking place for the past 4 days. Hearing that the master has finally arrived, the scriptures tell us that Martha runs out to meet him. Now, I'm not going to judge Martha too hard in our passage of scripture this morning. Martha's feeling overwhelmed. Her sorrow is led to confusion. But in the midst of her confusion, she tries her very best to exercise what faith she has. Do you see it? She says this. She said, Lord, I believe if you would have been here, you could have healed my brother. With her sorrowing heart, experiencing the death of her brother, she said, Lord, I still believe that if you'd have been here, he would not have had to have died. She didn't understand why Jesus didn't heal Lazarus, But she did have enough faith to believe that he could have if he would have been there. She believed that Lazarus would live again in the resurrection. It's obvious that she doesn't fully understand the resurrection, but she believes it. She knows he'll live again. She believed that Jesus was the Son of God. She didn't understand what he was doing in her life right now, but she still believed he was God. She is exercising whatever faith that she has. But I'm glad Martha had this conversation with Jesus, because it teaches us two great principles. It teaches us this. It teaches us, first of all, that the resurrection is still future. The resurrection is still future. Verse number 24, I know that he'll rise again, Martha said, in the resurrection at the last day. Verse 25, Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When we read this passage of Scripture, we often focus on what Martha got wrong. We focus on the fact that she didn't believe, that she believed in a future resurrection, but Jesus wanted her to believe in a right now, today resurrection. That's what we focus on. But we overlook the fact in doing that Martha got some things very right. When Martha says, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day, Jesus didn't correct her. Jesus wanted to add to what she believed, but he didn't correct her because he knew that what she said was right and it was true. Lazarus was a believer, therefore Lazarus will rise again at the resurrection of the last day. You understand, Lazarus got up, he was resurrected in this chapter, but he was going to die again. Lazarus isn't alive today, is he? He's in the grave somewhere. Therefore, there's still, although he was resurrected, there's still a resurrection coming for Lazarus. He will be resurrected in the last days. The future resurrection of the believer is a cardinal doctrine of our faith. Jesus teaches us that one day, though we were dead, yet shall we live again. There's coming a resurrection morning. Amen. He teaches us this in his own death. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. To be the first fruits means that there's more coming. In Israel, they would wave those first fruits, those sheaves, at the beginning of harvest as a declaration. We are trusting God that a great harvest is coming. A harvest is going to be given. And when Christ got out of the grave, he was the first fruits. That means that if he got up, we're getting up too. There's a resurrection day that is coming. Paul teaches us again in 1 Corinthians 15 that because Christ was resurrected, we can expect to be resurrected. Just as Jesus didn't stay in the ground but returned to life, you and I are going to come out of the graves and we will be given life again. This is not the end. The grave is not the finality of the believer. There's a resurrection day coming. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17, 18, he teaches us that the dead in Christ are going to rise first on resurrection morning. Graves will come open. Dead loved ones that were believers in Christ will come out of those graves. We will join them in the air, and that'll be a glorious morning. We are with them. We are with him. We will be together for all of eternity. And Paul said, that's such good news. Encourage each other with it. We'll be with them. We'll be with him. We'll be together. Resurrection is still yet future. Every one of us in this building today have walked to the graveside of somebody that we loved, and we looked in that dirt, and it seemed so final, and we said goodbye for now. But it was just goodbye for now, because we will see them again. We will meet them again. We'll walk the streets of glory with them one day. Hey, I'm saying, resurrection's still future, friend. It's still out there somewhere. And if I leave before you do, it'll not be goodbye. And if you leave before I do, it'll not be goodbye. We'll meet on the other side. On the other side of eternity, we'll meet again. We'll see each other again. She said, Lazarus will get up in the resurrection at the last days. And Jesus said, yep, That's right. I'm going to teach you some more, but that's right for now. Resurrection's still yet future. In fact, watch this. Paul, speaking of that great resurrection, said in 1 Corinthians 15:42 and following, he said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. This is more than I can preach this morning, so let me just say a few things. When we get up on resurrection morning, we're going to have a new body. This body we live in is decaying, is it not? It come out of the ground and it's going back. This body's decaying. It is not permanent. But on resurrection day, God will give us a glorified body fashioned like His glorified body. There won't be any more aches and pains and bumps and bruises. No more headaches. No more coronavirus. No more sickness. Hey, it ain't even going to die. It is a perfect, holy, glorified body that He's going to give us on that day. I'll say this, the resurrection's still yet to come. It'll take place at the moment of the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. I'm listening for a shout, listening for a trumpet. Hey, it could be today. It could be before we get out of here. It could be this very day that the Lord steps out, that He says, that's enough. Come up here. I'm ready for my bride. Come up here, child. And we get out of here. Resurrection's future. But I don't think it's that far in the future. Amen. I'll say this, the resurrection's for the believer. Yes, it is. The resurrection's for the believer. This is interesting. The Bible tells us in Revelation 19, I believe it is, maybe at the end of the chapter, that there is coming a resurrection of the damned. There is coming a resurrection of the dead. When they will be called out of their graves, they will stand before God in judgment, and He will cast them into the lake of fire. But that is not the resurrection of life. John said it is the second death. It is the resurrection from dead to death. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the resurrection of the believer, where He calls us and He gives us new life, permanent life, eternal life, perfect life. That is for the believer. God's going to give us resurrection power one day. And that's the resurrection that He's talking about in our text. Jesus got out of the grave, and He made it possible for us to get out of the grave. The resurrection is still yet future. Verse 25, the resurrection is not only future, the resurrection is present. Now that's interesting. The resurrection is present. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? While it was true that Lazarus would live again in the resurrection of the last day, Jesus wanted Martha to believe that Lazarus would live in the present. Jesus wanted Martha to believe that the resurrection wasn't just out there in the future somewhere, but it was right here and it was right now. Allow me to say that Jesus wants us to believe in the now, not just in the hereafter. So much of what we believe with our faith is future. We always look into the future. I believe that one day I'll die. I believe that when I die, I'll go to heaven or hell. I believe that I need to make things right with God before I die. All those things are out there somewhere. Out there in the future. I need to handle this, but I don't have to handle it right now. All of those things are in the future, but Jesus wants more than for us to believe in the future. He wants us to believe in the now. Maybe I could say it this way. Jesus wants to save you today. Jesus wants to work in your life today. Jesus wants you to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, not tomorrow, but now. 2 Corinthians 6:2, the end of the verse says, behold, now is the day of salvation. God wants you to live for Him today. She said, I know He'll live again in the future. Jesus said, yep, He's going to live today though. Jesus wanted Martha to know this. I want Him out of the graveyard today. And can I say to somebody, God wants you out of the graveyard today. Not just in the future, He wants you out of the graveyard today. Jesus wanted her to know, I want to clean him up today. When they get there, Martha's going to say, Lord, he stinks by now. And Jesus is going to say, well, somebody better unwrap him and give him a bath because I want him cleaned up today. He's coming, he's life today. God wants you cleaned up today. God wants you loosed from the things that bind you today. Loose him and let him go, he would say to the people as Lazarus come out of that grave. And God wants the same for you. God wants you loosed from the chains that bind you, the sin that confines you. God wants you loosed from those things, and he wants it today. Resurrection's out there in the future, but God wants to resurrect you and give you resurrection power this very day. That's what he wants for our lives. God wants our faith to be strong. God wants our future to be secure. Number three, I'm out of here. God wants his fame to be spread. God wants his fame to be spread. Let's read the rest of the story. We have still yet not read where Lazarus come out of the grave, and I've been preaching for two Sundays now. Jesus said, verse 39, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by now he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. One old Puritan writer said, if he had not said Lazarus by name, that whole graveyard would have come forward that day. And when the dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin, Jesus said unto them, loose him, let him go. When Jesus finally reaches the tomb, the Bible says that he begins to pray. I saw something this week I'd never seen before. Look at verse number 41. Jesus said at the end of verse number 41, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. That is in the past tense. I'm thankful that you have heard me. I've got a question for you. When did Jesus pray about this situation? The Bible doesn't record that for us. He is saying, I've already prayed about this. I'm glad you have heard me. When did he pray about it? Can I give you my speculation? I believe he prayed about it the day he got word that Lazarus was sick. Your friend Lazarus is sick, and I believe just instantaneously the Father and the Son began to communicate with each other. And the Father probably said something like this, just stay where you're at for two more days. He said, I've already prayed about this, and you have already heard me. But for the sake of these people, I'm going to pray again, and I'm going to do it publicly. He already knew what he was going to do. He had already got the green light from the Father to do it. But he said, because of all these people, I'm going to pray one more time so they know you sent me, and they know that it was your power that is going to do what's about to be done. I wonder why Jesus prayed again the second time. Could it be that he prayed the second time so that everybody could see and realize and recognize the glory of God? Let me give you three bullet points real fast and I'm leaving. Let me say this. The trial of your faith has been given so that God can get glory. It's hard to make those two things jive when we're dealing with them. It's hard to understand the glory of God and the difficulty of the situation, because all we can see is the difficulty of the situation. That's all Mary and Martha could see. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But God had a big plan. They couldn't see the end of it, but he had already talked to the Father and he'd already knew what he was going to do. And could it be that when you face that thing you're facing, you can't see it and you don't recognize it, but God the Father and God the Son have already consulted over it, and there's a plan for your life. And in the end, if we just stay true, what's going to happen is God's going to do a miracle, and His name is going to be glorified, and His fame is going to be spread because of the thing that you're going through. The trial of your faith should bring glory to God. Let me say this secondly. The resurrection of your soul, your salvation, should bring glory to God. He was going to get Lazarus up out of the grave, was he not? And that was going to spread his fame. At the end of the chapter, I'm not going to read it, but at the end of the chapter, there will be people that will leave this funeral, and they will go back to Jerusalem telling the story of what they have seen and what they have witnessed this day. You'd think everybody would be converted, but that makes the Pharisees even more convinced they've got to kill him. They've got to kill Lazarus too, but anyway. Always looking to kill somebody. They must have been Italian Jews, Brother James. They're looking to knock somebody out. Mafia Jews. But the resurrection should bring glory. God saved you for more than just the purpose of getting you out of hell, getting you out of the grave. God saved you so that in your life His fame could be spread. Your life, your resurrection story should bring glory to God. And then I'll say this thirdly. When the day comes that we are resurrected, one more time we'll bring glory to God. Resurrection is now. God wants you to bring glory today. But one day soon He's going to come get us. He's going to come get us. He's going to march with us. What a day that'll be with the saints. When the saints go marching in, as the old song says, when the saints walk up to that heavenly city, Jesus makes the announcement to the host of heaven, I've brought my bride home. I've gone and I've got her and I've brought her back with me. This is what I died for. This is why I went to the earth. This is why I hung on Calvary. Here she is. And heaven rejoices. We bring glory to His name because of His resurrection power in our life. Brother Scott's going to sing us a verse of a song. I'm done. If there's something you want to pray about this morning, we encourage you to come.